This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
If you would remain standing for the reading of the Easter story. This version comes out of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. So hear now the word of God. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb. We don't know where they put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb, and they were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place that they were staying. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." And as soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabbinunai," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And then she told them what he said to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, through weak human words, give us grace to hear your true word, the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm glad that you decided to get up and come to church on this Easter Sunday. So whether you walk through these doors every Sunday of your life or this is your first time, I'm just so happy you're here and honored that we can share this wonderful time of celebration together. I appreciate that your presence adds to our worship today. And the excitement and splendor that we feel today, this Easter Sunday. I love the Easter story. Each gospel has kind of a unique take on it and what happened. It always differs about who actually came to the tomb. As I read to start worship today, Mark has it where Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, come to the tomb. In Matthew, it's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. In Luke, it's Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the son of James, and other women. All the Gospels agree. Mary Magdalene definitely came to the tomb that morning. But who was with her differs depending on what Gospel you're reading. Luke and John also have Peter come to the tomb, and in John, the other disciple joins him. In all the accounts, people witness that the tomb that Jesus was placed in on Friday is now empty because Christ is risen. Today, we all come to the tomb. We come with whatever is going on in our lives. We come to the tomb today sharing the same emotions as those women and the disciples had so long ago. We come, and like them, we find the stone rolled away. We find an empty tomb. We come today to proclaim again that Christ is risen. Easter reminds me that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is about transformation. The world changed when the tomb was found empty. Before that moment, God's Spirit was in the temple and in the holiest of holies, but now the temple curtain was torn, and in 50 days at the end of the season of Easter, we will celebrate the Holy Spirit coming down to the disciples in the day called Pentecost. Easter is a time of transformation because it opens God's salvation up to the entire world, and it changes who we are. We, all of us, are Easter people. We are people of the resurrection. We are people who see the empty tomb and we celebrate the grace that is found there. We hear the story of the women coming to the tomb determined to see death. But when they arrived, what they found was life. The word gets to the disciples eventually, and the word is spread throughout the world because we are here today, thousands of years later, to celebrate that Christ is risen. But to be transformed, we have to experience the risen Lord. We have to walk to the tomb and find it empty again. We must realize that the resurrected Christ is in our midst and ready to transform us to do the work that we are called to do. To be transformed, we have to show up. And once again, I give thanks to God that you are here with us, whether here in the sanctuary or worshiping with us online, wherever you are. You all have shown up to be witnesses to this amazing story today. But where do you find yourself in the midst of the story? I've preached the John's version of the story probably at least a dozen times in my ministerial career, and I've preached some of the other Gospels as well, but not as much as John. But every Easter we read the story of the resurrection, and then I'm invited to say something to connect us to that story of God's grace and love found in the empty tomb. I'll be honest with you, some years, it's easy. The world is hurting so bad some years, and the story of God's grace just kind of preaches itself. Sometimes there's a new hook that I learn while studying the scriptures, and I'm happy to sink my teeth into it, and the words just kind of flow. But this year I struggled. I struggled because of what I brought with me today. This has been a hard year for my family and probably will continue to be so. Just to paint you a picture, we have to go back to November of 2019 when we said goodbye to Judy Steele, my wife Alicia's stepmother, who passed away from pancreatic cancer. A few years after that, we learned that her mom, Judy Bennett, also has pancreatic cancer. Hers was in a different spot, and so she was able to have some surgery to try to improve things. And some of that helped, but we learned early this year that her cancer has raged back. It's not only in her pancreas, but it's also in her lungs, liver, lymph nodes, kidneys. The doctors at that time gave her about 3 months to live, which is roughly 3 months ago. The doctor also told her that she could go through chemo again. That might add 1 to 3 months to her life. She chose to do that, but her recent test has shown that it really hasn't helped. We know the clock on her time with us is counting down quickly now. A week and a half ago, one of my son's friends and coworkers at Chick-fil-A died in a single car accident. He's only 16 years old. There was a candlelight vigil this past Wednesday and a special gathering for the community at his church. It had been hard to watch as my son deals with the reality of death of a friend. And it isn't easy for our family because it brings up some other times where we experience that as well. That tragedy pulls on those old wounds too and makes them nice and fresh again. That's what I'm bringing to this Easter Sunday. What are you bringing to the empty tomb today? I'm sure I'm not the only one out there who has had it hard, who has had a life that's happened to them this year. I don't know what you were bringing to the empty tomb today, but maybe it is a little bit of grief. Maybe you're like Mary Magdalene and you are coming to the tomb because you simply want to go through the steps of grief. You want to treat this person that you followed with love and care and respect and dignity. Grief, though, overcomes you as you see the body is gone and you don't know what is going on. And so if you're grieving today, if you're bringing that to the empty tomb, I simply say thank you for being here and witnessing the resurrection. Maybe you're like the disciples who are simply in disbelief at what they had gone through. Maybe your life is chaotic because you just lost a job or your spouse has or you're considering divorce. Maybe you are just in disbelief of how cruel this world can be and you wish for different moments in time when life seemed a whole of a lot easier. Maybe you're like the disciples, and you're just overwhelmed with everything, and so you're sitting there in the pew or at home today, and you're just numb to life. If you find yourself numb today, thank you for being here and witnessing the resurrection. Maybe you're like the disciples and the ladies who run away from the tomb because they're just scared. Maybe there are hard decisions that have to be made about an unknown future. The disciples, they were all nervous about the Romans and the Jewish leaders and what they might do to them. They are feeling the weight on their shoulders like their world was caving in around them. Jesus told them that this would all happen, but they half listened. And now that reality is coming at them like a fastball to the face. They're on full-on panic mode. And maybe panic mode sounds a lot like your house as you attempted to get everyone dressed up and ready and out the door on time so that you can be here. And if so, once again, thank you for being here and being witnesses to the resurrection. Maybe you're searching for what all this means. Maybe you are here because your grandmother begged you. Or maybe there's something in your soul that nudged you that said, I need to be at church this morning on this high holy day. Maybe you're like the other women who came to the tomb. In Mark's gospel early on, they didn't have a plan, it says. They just knew that they should go to the tomb. They didn't know who was going to roll away the stone, but they came anyway. They were going to make it up as they went along. Or at least search for someone who could help them. And what they found transformed them, and they turned into the first evangelists, the first to proclaim that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And so if you are here searching for answers, or just searching for me to stop talking so we can get on with the Easter celebrations, thank you for being here and witnessing the resurrection. I appreciate everyone being here because today of all days, this Sunday of all Sundays, connects us with each other and to God's story for the world. It's a time when we remember that God knows who we are, our needs, and our ignorance in asking. God looked at the world and knew it would take a sacrifice of his son to bring the gift of salvation to everyone. God made that happen and then offered it all to us, no matter what we bring to the empty tomb this morning. Offered it free, with no strings attached. I love the story in John's gospel and John telling the resurrection story the interaction between Mary Magdalene and Jesus. I love the tenderness and the intimate interaction when Jesus calls her name and her eyes are just open to the reality of who is standing right in front of her. Of course, Jesus knew this woman who followed him around and supported his ministry. Of course, he knew this person who he cast 7 demons out of. But it took him calling her name for her to see him for who he was. The good news is that Jesus knows all of us. We United Methodists, we believe in something called prevenient grace, something I'll be going into in the next worship series. This is the belief that God is always pursuing us and giving us grace throughout our lives in the hopes that we recognize it and turn to Him and accept that grace for ourselves. This is why we baptize babies and why we have an open table for communion. We believe all are welcome because God is welcoming all of us today. God is calling all of our names, hoping we will realize the love and grace being offered. The other good news comes out of Mark's resurrection account. The Gospels were first written in Greek, even before the English language was invented. In the Greek language, sentence structures are very different than our English translations. Our English translation has verse 8 saying, "They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Now, if we translate the Greek perfectly like it is written, the sentence structure is a lot different. And this is the way it reads. "Neither anything to any man said they are afraid for." It almost sounds like Yoda is speaking. But I love that last phrase. "They are were afraid for." Or if you translate the Greek word here, just gar, a little bit differently, you can say, "They were afraid because." That is the original ending to Mark's gospel. It ends with "because." Ending with a conjunction keeps it open-ended, like there's more to tell, more to happen. And when we end with "because," we want the reason. We want the end of the story. For many of us, Easter feels like the end of the story. We have just survived whatever we gave up or added for the season of Lent for those 40 days. We can now eat chocolate or whatever that we gave up. We have prepared ourselves spiritually for this day. We've walked hand in hand with Jesus as he entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday into the upper room on Maundy Thursday through his trial and to the cross on Good Friday. And now we celebrate, right? The end of the story as we say, "Christ is risen."
He is risen.
And this is why I'm so happy that you all are here today. We celebrate, but it isn't the end of the story. The end of Lent was yesterday, Holy Saturday. When we sit in the reality of God's Son is dead in the tomb. But today, on Easter Sunday, a new season begins. We refer to this as the great 50 days. The season of Easter lasts 50 days, 10 more than the season of preparation, the season of Lent. And it ends on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit arrives. Today is not the end. It's the beginning because you are here because we are all here worshiping God because. The story of God's resurrection, the story that proclaims that Christ is risen, is not over. It lives beyond the empty tomb, beyond the first century world, beyond the great schism or the Reformation or the beginning of the new world. It lives beyond the great awakening and will live beyond our post-Christian culture. The story of God's resurrection lives on because of you and because of me. Because of all of us, because God continues to call us by name, to meet us where we are with whatever emotional baggage we are carrying, and tells us it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Because. So whatever you're carrying, you can lay it down. Because today, we are reminded that we are invited to participate in the story of God's redemption for the world because Christ is risen.
He is risen.
I am happy that you are here because this means the story continues because of you. God's story continues because. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for who you are and for how you are calling us to be your people in this world. May we understand and see that you are calling our names and that you're standing right there in front of us. You are ready for us to accept that grace and that call in our lives to follow you. And so may we set down whatever we need to set down, and may we follow you as the story continues. It begins with an empty tomb. It begins as the people profess that Christ is risen. And it will continue on as we worship you over and over again every Sunday, wondering and waiting for your Holy Spirit to continue to move us into what you desire for us. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all those people who are here, for how your story continues in each and every one of their lives. It is in your name, our risen Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. And now let us confess what we believe by saying together the Apostles' Creed. So let us stand. No? Well, if you open up your hymnal, it's on 881.